Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Dalet. But it's not a sad day at all. It's a happy day when we can start it by learning a new daf. So we got up to Erev Shabbos. The last thing that we learned was about threads that are very, very thick. And they're made out of a goat hair, which was twisted into actual threads. These things are going to be makabel tuma if you make a braid out of them. You would just twist them loosely together, and they have the same din as a beged. And we said the reason was because someone who's poor would be able to use these as a necklace for a child, and therefore we viewed it as the equivalent of orig, even though it isn't literally orig, but it's used as a human beged, and that gives it a din of ariga. We're going to see that we have a basis for this actually in the pasuk. So the last thing we learned was the fifth line, Tola b'tzavar b'ton. We begin today, Tana Rabbana, sixth line. Tana Rabbana. So now we're going to take a look at the Mekoros of the Dinim in the Torah. And the first pasuk that we have is Kol Asher Yipol Alav Mehem B'motam. This is talking about the sherets and the dead sherets of the type v'shratzim v'arbatam v'nishman v'shratzim. Kol Asher Yipol Alav Mehem B'motam Yitmam B'kol Kli Eit O Beged O or O sak kol kli asher yaseh melacha bahem. So this will be tame ad ha'erev, v'taher, and so on. Now the additional O of all of these ends up becoming a drasha that adds different things, as we saw before, and now we're getting up to sak. So Tana Rabbana, when it says sak, which is sackcloth made out of goat hair, in the pasuk. So Amy Ella Sak, Minayan Larabot et Akil Klivet Achabak. So now the question is like this. Something that is an actual human beged, I understand that that's included over here, the same way all of the other things in the pasuk are used by human beings as begodim. But how about a kilkale? And how about a chabak? A kilkale is it is made out of twisted thread, meaning out of woven, out of spun thread. But it's usually not used by humans. It's used in order to hold on the saddle of a horse, and it goes around the chest of the horse. So the chabak is the back of the saddle. It goes around the stomach of a horse or whatever animal you're putting it on. And these things are made out of these types of goat pluckings. So how do I know that that would be included? Talmud Lomar Osak. And remember, every one of the O's is a ribui. Now, you might think, if that's the case, that maybe it's even coming to tell me that I could be marba chavalim v'mashichot. So perhaps things that are generally made from goat hair, which are different than other types of threads, as we spoke about earlier. Because when you're talking about wool, you're talking about linen, if you haven't woven it, spun it rather, into a thread, it's completely useless. Masha Inkain, the goat hairs are, by the way, Tosis points out that there are two types of goat hairs, and we're talking about two completely different things in different sugyas, because otherwise we get into a lot of problems. So the Re points out over here that there are these downy kinds of hairs that you can actually use for making real clothing with. Here we're talking about the very thick and ugly hair, which is useful because it's long. It doesn't spin well into a thread, but it was tough. And because of that, it was often used as a measuring rod, and, you know, one of the kinds that sort of rolls up, and then you can unroll it. So if you would just twist the ends of these long hairs one into the other, you could get yourself a pretty non-elastic, which of course is important for a measuring tape. So they would make a measuring tape out of it. That was very common. And you might think that you could actually use that to be makabel tuma as well, or just a simple rope. Again, this is a rope that's made out not of spun thread. So would that be makabel tuma from O sak? No, because it still has to be similar to sak. And just like ma sak tavui ve'arig, af kol tavui ve'arig, the same thing, after all, should be similar to sak. So then that means that what we have over here is, in one sense, we have something that is similar to sock and needs to be like a normal baguette. And on the other hand, which still can't be completely different because then it wouldn't be included in the initial din of sock itself. So basically what we're saying is that the halacha is somewhere in the middle. If it's spun and it's used in this fashion, that's included in the O. If it's not even spun, it's not included in the O. Now, this is the Gabi Sheretz. Okay, what would be the din Gabi Tumas Meis? Well, very similar. Harei Omer B'Meit, we have the same pasuk, basically, where it mentions V'chol Kli or V'chol Ma'aseh Izim Titchato. So now, what is this V'chol Ma'aseh Izim? V'chol Ma'aseh Izim comes to include exactly what we were talking about before, this thing that goes around the belly and the thing that goes around the breast. So those type of straps, which are made out of spun izim, are also mekabel tuma by a mate. Yochoshenimar beta chavalimet meshichot. Can we include ropes and measuring rods, measuring tapes? No. Because of that, we're going to have to find, here we don't have the same basis because we don't have the limut from O sock, which is an extension of the original sock. So over here, we're sort of stuck because kol ma'aseh izim, I don't know, anything. So anything would include a measuring tape also. At least one would think so. V'dinu, actually, I wouldn't think so. Because, look, I mean, the Torah said that this business about extended sack is tameh when it comes to a sheretz. And here it's saying kol ma'aseh izim means it's tameh when it comes to a mate. So, I mean, it's very similar. If the Torah says it's tameh b'sheretz, and we clearly derive from the pasuk that it is not tameh, unless it's at least spun threads, that they can be seen as being similar to actually an oruk, and then it makes sense that if we find the same exact thing taking place by a mate, tumas mate, we're over there, we're including the extended sack. We mean it in the same way, extended sack, but not to go so far as to take a measuring tape, which Bechlal wasn't even spun, that's going too far. Does that make sense? Why would I think that I would necessarily say by a mate it would be tummy? Not really, says the Gemara. Hey, oh yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense. Doesn't make any sense. Because in Hekel b'tummy sheretz. Tummy sheretz is kal. It's only tumas erev. You want to derive from the din of what's makabel tumas sheretz to the din of tumas meis? Shall we be naked with tumas hameis, which is much more chomer? Here we're talking about tumas shiva. So maybe kol ma'aseh izim, when it comes to tumat meit, is actually more inclusive than just sock. Makes sense to me. Do I have a basis? Yes. Now I need a basis. And the basis is that we find a dual word gezerah shavah. Talmud Omar beged v'or, beged v'or, mugzer shava. It says beged v'or by the sheretz, beferish in that pasuk. It says beged v'or by mate, by the same pasuk. So just like beged v'or omer b'sheretz includes only the goat that is tovoi v'oruk, that we learned out because of the fact that it has to be similar to osak. The O is still the sack. Av beged v'ora mor b'meto timela tovi v'oruk. It makes sense, therefore, well, not make sense, doesn't need to make sense. We're talking about gzeira shava, and therefore, it must be that it's in the same type of extended sackcloth that is tummy both by the sheretz and by the mate. And now, once I know this, I can also say something else. And that is, actually, if you think about it for a moment, we already know. We no longer need the idea of the extension by both mate and sheretz, because we could have learned the whole thing out from the gzeira shava, right? And essentially, that's what we're about to do, because we now got ourselves an extra pasuk. So what the Braisa now does is it goes back, it says, okay, just like beged v'or, that appears in the sugya of tumas meis, over there, all ma'asei izim are included. So to the beged v'or ha'amur b'sheretz, all ma'aseh izim are included. And that would include the kilkeli and so on that we spoke about in about the horse and so on, as long as it is actually twisted thread. So if that's the case, we're going to go back to this a minute and ask, I thought we derived that already. Ein li ela dover ha'bo min ha'zim izim. But wait a minute. This is all very nice when it comes to hair of a goat. Would I say the same thing about horsetail hair? That's horse hair. They do make things out of horse hair. And that's where you get it from the tail of the horse. Or something comes from Znava Snooze or Miznava Para. Where is that also the same as sock? Yeah, actually it is. Talmud Lomar, O sock. Now we're using O sock to tell me sock doesn't have to be sock from a goat. Sock could be from anything, something similar to sock, like sus, para, and so on. Wait a minute. Hold on, I'm confused. Didn't you just say that we needed osak to teach me the kilkli and the chabak that goes around the breasts or the belly of the animal that you're putting the saddle on? How are you using it now to tell me that it means horsehair? Yeah, sure I said that, but that's before you put me into the corner and I needed to discover the Gzereshava, right? Okay, but now I do have the Gzereshava, ha ha. So if I have the Gzereshava, so I now can use the extra O to tell me extended beyond just the goat, because I already know extended goat from mace and the Gzereshava back to Sharetz. So if that's the case, Hanibi, let me come to let the Gzereshava. That's before I brought that Gzereshava. But now that I got everything through the Gzereshava, now that word or is extra and comes to tell me this. Ain't the Ella B'Sharetz, okay, but it says that word O. It says Dafka in Tumat Sheretz. How do I know that's true of Tumat Meit? Well, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Time B'Meit, we already know where we're going with this, but let's go through it. Time B'Meit, Fatima B'Sheretz, same way that when the Torah said something is Tame by a Sheretz, it included anything that was similar to goat. So it would be a horse, it would be from a cow. That's the same as Maaseh Yizim from the extra O. It makes sense that by Tumas Meis, it would be exactly the same. Also, Davraba Mitzus Miznava Para, the same as Maaseh Zim. Oh, yeah, right. Hey, that makes a lot of sense to me. It's ridiculous. Im Yirba Batumas Erev Shumaruba. One second. We've got a pretty standard type of Tuma. Standard type of Tuma, all the things. Sheretz, Nevela, Shechvazera, and Zov, all of these things, if you touch any of those, you become Tomei Tumas Erev. So the set of Tumas Erev is a very big set. If it's a very big set, so then it makes sense that there's also, it's much easier, because that set is very common, to include other things in it, like horsetail. But should we be Marba Tumas Shiva, which is a very limited set, very specific, and perhaps is not, because of that, is not as extensive, because after all, extensiveness is also a reason for inclusiveness. So maybe it would not be true about the Tumat Meit. Talmud Lomar, Beged V'Or, L'Gzera Shava. So we're back again to our Gzera Shava. Nema Beged V'Or B'Sheretz, Nema Beged V'Or B'Meit. This time we're learning in the other direction. Ma Beged V'Or Omur B'Sheretz, Osadav Rabba Miznava Susu Miznava Parak Maaseh Yizim. So just like horsehair or cow hair is the same as goat hair when it comes to Sheretz, we now have a right because of the Gzera Shava to tell me something that I wouldn't be able to justify logically, but the Gzera Shava is telling us the Torah wants us to do it. Well, I sure hope that you know what you're talking about and that the words Beged V'Or are Mufne, because if they're not Mufne, Mufne means that they're extra. And it's not just that we find the same words in two sugyas, because finding the same words in two sugyas is all very nice as a basic Gzera Shava, which we can apply dinim in one to the other. But only if you don't have a reason to say that the similarity doesn't make any sense. But that's called makshinan. We can have a kasha about it. Well, over here, we've shown that it doesn't really make sense because they're so different in both directions. Either that Tumas Meis is Chomer, and therefore why would we apply its Chumras to something Kal, or that Tumas Erev is extensive, and why would we apply it to something that is rare? So I hope that you know what you're talking about. I mean, because if it's not Mufna, I can obviously ask you all kinds of questions. Ikela Mifrach, how can you make a comparison from Mesa to Masheretz? A Sheretz is Metame Bika Adasha, right? So obviously it's more Chomor, In the sense of a kadasha, it's more chamur. Now, obviously, this was a kasha we could have asked before as well, where the Gemara often does this. So it picks the question and then develops it and shows you there were more questions as well. So instead of going through the whole thing again, we vary it. So we didn't mention this question before, but obviously this question is also the one that we usually use when we want to talk about it being illogical to assume that something that is going to be a chumrah by a sheretz would necessarily be true about a mate. Says the Gemara, oh, of course I know what I'm talking about. Lie, if nuhim, of course it's extra. Look, take a look at this. Michte, look. We know that Tuma Sheretz is compared completely to Tuma Shechva Zera, because it says, Isha Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shechva Zera, the Isha Sheiga B'chol Sheretz. So it gives the same dinim to Shechva Zera as it does to Sheretz. Now, what does it say by Shechva Zera? Kol Beged V'chol Or Asher Yeh Alav Shechva Zera. There we go again. Beged V'or. Uh-huh. In which case, the Beged Va'ar, that was the basis of the comparison between Sheretz and Mace, is not necessary, because I already know Beged Va'ar from Shechva Zera to Sheretz. And therefore, Beged Va'ar, the Kazav Rachmanim Sheretz Lomeli, why do you think it's there? I'll tell you why it's there. It's there in order for you to know that it's extra. And that extra allows me to make the Gzeirah Shavah between Mace and Sheretz. That's the point. Well, yes and no. I mean, you've shown me that one of the Beged Va'ar on the side of the Sheretz is extra. You haven't showed me that the extra, the limud of Beged Va'ar in Mace is extra. Now, you might say, I don't have to prove to you that it's extra on both ends, do I? But actually, that's a machlokas. So it's only muftim mitzad echad. So if you hold a nechalamad yom muftim mitzad echad, lemedim they meshivin. If you go according to the Mandi Yomar, who says that it's enough to have a gzera shava on one end mufna, and then you don't have any right to ask questions on it. Okay, then I'll shut up. But what about according to the other Mandi Yomar, who says, well, it's a good gzera shava, but if you got a good kasha, then you can't apply the gzera shava to that particular din. What are you going to say then? Answers the Gemara, no, it's extra on both ends. And I'll show you why it's extra by mate also. Because mate is also compared to Shechva Zera. There we go. So basically, we have Shechva Zera in the middle of mace and sheretz. And because of that, since it says, kol beged v'chol or by Shechva Zera, so then why do I need beged v'or by mace? Same thing. It must be that the caring one taught us laf nuye. Okay. Now, once we're on, so now we understand the whole circuit. So now what we're just basically, what did we come out with? That horse hair, goat hair, cow hair, if they are twisted into actual thread, then it's going to be tame, as if it were orig. But if it's not twisted into thread, then even though you've created a useful tape measure with it, it's not going to be metame. Of course, there remains one very serious question, which Tosfos asks and leaves hanging. The serious question is that now that we've got Shechva Zera handling everything else, what do we need the Gzeirah Shavah for? If everything is now hukash through there, so then this entire thing should be able to be learned out directly from the interrelationship with Shechva Zera, right? Okay, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Lo pasha. All right, anyway, getting to the story. So the story started with the Etz Ada, right? It started with these bracelets. It was going to be Bekabel Tuma. We learned that out from Clay Midian. So now, when they were coming back after the war with Midian, and remember that the whole purpose of the war with Midian was to take revenge for the way that Midian had been machshil B'nai Yisrael by sending out all these naked girls and getting them to be Oyved Avodah Zarah and so on, right? So then that means it was like a war for moral things. So the question is, when all the soldiers came back, they brought a korban. Uh-oh, what did they do wrong? I got a few suspicions. So did Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is the question. It says Vanakravit Korban Hashem Isha Shirmatza Klei Zahav Etzada Tzamid Tabat Agil Kumaz. So we brought a korban to Hashem. Anybody that found all of this gold stuff. So what are these things? Anklets, bracelets, rings, agils, and kumaz. I don't know exactly what is that. Well, Rabbi Elazar, well, the agil is this beautiful cast breasts. So, you know, all these old pictures with the women holding up their breasts, basically naked breasts, but they got these gorgeous golden things under them and around them. And the kumaz is even worse. Kumaz is the tfusho beit harecha. So that's basically a naked woman's got an opportunity to get this gorgeous golden cast of her genitals. Now, that's not a very pretty kind of thing to bring to as a korban. And they were bringing it as a korban. An omer of Yosef. Now I understand. Of course, remember, Yosef was a big bookie in Targum, and he always would make comments about the Targum, the relationship with the Targum. That's why the Targum understood why the Targum of Kumaz is machoch. Machoch means sort of low-class laughter, right? So it's like a lewdness, kind of lewd laughter. Because it's a dover ha-mevili de-gichuch. This is the kind of thing that leads people to lewdity. Omar le-rabba, you don't need the Targum, my dear. You can actually read this into the word. What is Kumaz? What do you think it means? It's an acronym. Kan makom zima. This is the place to mess around. In which case, it's saying straight out that it's lewd. Anyway, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was furious at them. So vayiksof Moshe al pkudei achayil. What was he angry about? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Avuha. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, I can't believe it. I send you out to fight because of these girls and you end up being with them doing the same thing? This is crazy. Shema chazartem lekukochem arishon. So they said to him, oh, chas v'shalom. Lo nifkad mimenu ish. Not one of us, simple meaning, not one of us was killed in the war. Lo nifkad mimenu ish means no one was nichshal with any of these women. Really, says Moshe, so why are you bringing a kapora if nobody was nichshal, huh? Explain that to me. Well, they said, I mean, maybe we didn't do anything. It doesn't mean we sure didn't think about doing something, you know. But midei hiru lo yatzanu. Miyad, and therefore, vanakrev et korban Hashem. Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question over here. What in the world is wrong with having lewd thoughts if you're even allowed to do rape in a war because of the din of Yifas Tor? So what, you need to bring a kapara where the Torah is allowing you to actually go through with the act? That doesn't make sense. And so Tosfos answers, yeah, but remember, you're only allowed to take one of them. What if you were thinking of two? Incredible. That's just part of the essay on that parsha, because it's like an amazing kind of teretz, right? I'm talking about the specificity of the Yisrei teretz. Anyway, turn to the Vayir Rabbi Yishmo. Mipnei ma hutzichu Yisrael shebauto ador kapara. Why indeed did Klal Yisrael need kapora in that generation to bring the korban Hashem? Mipnei shezanu eneyem in ha'erva. Because basically they may not have done anything, but they sure had a feast looking. Omrim sheshes. Mipnei ma manah katuv takshitin shebachutzi takshitin shebifnim. So why does the Torah talk about just normal jewelry and talk about this really intimate kind of stuff of the kumaz and so on? I mean, it's not really similar. I mean, a ring you put on your finger. I mean, anybody can walk out with a ring, but this kumaz is pretty hot stuff. So what are you listing it all as the same kind of thing? Ah, that's a limud. That kola mistakel be'etzbak tanashal isha ki'ilu mistakel bimkoma turpa. Basically, it all is defined by what you're thinking while you're looking. And therefore, a ring, in a sense, can be exactly the same as a kumaz, because if what you're thinking about with the ring is what the kumaz is suggesting, so it's the same idea. And therefore, the Torah is putting them all into one set of issues. And now it's time for our Kapitan.
On that note,
ah, wonderful. So getting back to what you're allowed to wear in your hair as a woman when you go out, well, she can go out, yotza isha, buchute se'ar. Remember that the problem of braiding things in the hair was in the first Mishnah defined by the question of whether she can go to the mikveh with it. And if she's going to need a tefillah in a mikveh, she may take out these things and carry them rushas harabim. But that would mean that anything that could not actually be a chatzitza is not a problem. And since we learned before that hair on hair is not a chatzitza because it doesn't get tight enough to prevent water hard on hard, doesn't get tight. And because of that, it doesn't prevent water from getting in. So because of that, there would be no problem of her having braids with her own hair or hairs that she got from somebody else or even animal hair. So she could go out on Shabbos wearing that because hair does not cause a chatzitza. She can also go out. Remember, we had before, she can't go out with totefet or sarviti. And that was that little thing that went around the front. It was called a frontlet. Barnea never told us what the things on the side were called. But anyway, there are these nice little cheek things come along the bottom, run from the top along the cheeks, made out of gold or costume jewelry. So she could wear that if they are sewn to the hat, because then she can't take them off to show them. And she can go out with a kavul or a peyan nochrit, but only to the chotzer. So remember the kavul we said before, that was a machlokas, whether it was talking about a kavla da avda, or whether it was talking about basically a beanie kind of thing. Here it's definitely talking about a beanie in the context of this Mishnah. And she could go out, but only into the chotzer, not into the rishos harabim. She can go out with moch shebeozna, moch shebesandala, moch sheitkina lenidata. So if there is a need to go out with some aspect that is meshamish her body. So let's say she's got an ear infection and there's fluid leaking from her ear. So she can put in an absorptive tissue into her ear. If she's got a problem on her foot that she needs to, maybe her shoe is like rubbing against her or something, you can put a moch into a shoe. You can put a moch, which is a sanitary napkin, she can wear for her nidais. If she's got a problem with bad breath, she can walk around sucking on a mint or a pilpul, which is what they used in those days. She can use a galgal melach. If she's got, let's say, a toothache, put a little bit of salt in her mouth. V'chol davar shenitan l'toch pia, or for that matter, whatever it is that she needed as medicine, she would be allowed to go out with it, but she can't put it in her mouth l'chatchila on Shabbos. Again, either because you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, and therefore the medicative aspect of it allows her to continue to go out with it if it was there from before, but it doesn't allow her to put it there in the first place because of the gzera of shchikas samamanim. Or it may be, there are others, don't even, that's the pashtus here. It may be that the question over here is whether people who see her putting it in her mouth might actually think that she's just trying to figure out a way to get it from one rishus to another, and that she thinks it's okay to carry in your mouth, which of course it isn't. Shein totevet, shein shel zahav, machlokas rishonim, but this refers to two separate things, whether one is a false tooth, which is using an actual human tooth, and the other is a gold false tooth, or whether it's one thing, a false tooth that is made out of gold. Rebbe is matir, and the chachamim are osrim. So now the issue of these kind of questions, of course, as we know, is the shaila of whether it's likely that she will be embarrassed in rishus harabim, people making fun of her, which we remember, the main issues that we spoke about is, would there be some need to take something out, which would be like a davar shel kedusha or requirement for a mikveh? Is there a chance that something will fall off and end up being carried? We had a lot of things that came under that. Is there a problem of people perhaps making fun of the individual, whether he's wearing only one shoe or whether maybe it's embarrassing to have that tooth that somebody makes a comment about it, so perhaps she'll slip it out of her mouth or put it into her pocket? Those would be the issues that we would have over here. That would be the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rebbe. Vitzricha. So we had three different types of hairs that were mentioned in the Mishnah. One was her own hair. One was another human hair. and one was animal hair. We need all three of those cases, because let's say it only talked about her own hair. I would have said, okay, there's nothing for us to worry about. Nobody's going to make fun of her. She's wearing her own hair. But, I mean, something that is, it's pretty disgusting where it's wearing somebody else's hair in the middle of your hair. So maybe over there people will actually make a comment and she'll take it out. And if it said, Chavertai, would have said, okay, at least, I mean, it's human to wear animal hair, which doesn't even look like it belongs there at all. La Barmino, maybe there for sure she might end up having to take it off out of embarrassment. Therefore, Tzricha. Tana, when we're talking about human hair, it's got to be matching human hair. I mean, you can't have a girl who's got black hair going out with the white hair of an old lady, or an old lady who's going out with young hair. Wait a minute. Now, I understand an old lady who's trying to cover up the fact that she's getting all white, so she wants to have a young girl's hair there. Okay, I mean, that's shevachula, you know. That's something good. So over there, she's not going to be made fun of. So therefore, comes along the prices to say, no, that's also something that she may end up taking out. Is even though it's understandable, but a child going out with white hair, I mean, of course people are going to laugh at her. And Gnayula, so for sure, she obviously can't go out. So what do we have to mention it? True, I did a ton of zekena b'shel yalda, ton of nami yalda b'shel zekena. I was just saying it can't be something that's going to attract attention. Now, we said that you can go out with a kavul and a peah nochrit into a chutz. Says Rav, you should know that all of the things that the chachomim asr, going out into Rishus HaRabim, is also asr to go even into a chutzer. Because there's a big machlokas over here, by the way. The Rambam understands this to mean into a chotzer that doesn't have an eruv. So in other words, the gezeira d'rabbanan was on an area that was similar to Rishus HaRabim, mid-rabbanan. It's not called the gezeira l'gezeira. But everybody else understands it to mean even to a private chotzer where there's no problem of an eruv. And the issue over here is, once we're allowing her to go out, she's going to just forget about it and walk out into Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, they just ushered it straight out, except for two things. The kavul, which was the beanie thing over her head, or a peah nochrit. If she's wearing a sheitel, then she can go out into the chotzer. Rav Hanani bar Sosod mishmeid Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi amar, it's not true. Everything is essentially the same as the kavul. You're allowed to go into, you can't go in Rishus HaRabim, true, but you are allowed to go into a private chotzer. That's not tiltul Rishus HaRabim. So the gezeira did not apply to, the way the Rambam's learning, into an area at all, even if it was an area without an Eruv, where it needed the Eruv Durabbana. It's not. We'll get to all of these things in a moment. It's not. Bekavula bepeah nochrit lechatzer, and she can only wear that into the chatzer. Again, the peah nochrit that we're talking about over here is the type of peah nochrit that I don't think you remember the original peah nochriot, because to you, peah nochrit is one of these fancy New York shaitlach. But my great-grandmother wore peah nochrit, and believe me, if she walked out in Rishus HaRabim, there'd be a very good reason for her to take it off. So that's what we're talking about over here, obviously. So the question, by the way, this whole sugya is a real problem. The reason it's a real problem is because nobody keeps this halacha. Any of these halachas. Women go out wearing all of this jewelry into Rishus HaRabim. And this is like one of the big things that all of the poskim talk about. Why in the world has this halacha been completely and totally erased from the books? How could such a thing have happened? So it's this sugya right here that becomes the mocker of all of the discussion throughout the generations about what has happened to the limitations on jewelry that seem to be completely forgotten. So what we're going to be talking about over here, again, we have a machlokas Rabbanani bar Sosa, who's quoting Rabbi Shmuel and saying that all of the things that we assert are only assert in a real Rishus HaRabim. Now, this becomes the answer that the Rabbeinu Tam offers to the whole problem. So Rabbeinu Tam says, that's how we paskin. We paskin like Rabbanani Bar Sason, even though the Pashas in the Mishnah is not like that, as the Gemara is going to show. Rabbanani Bar Sason was going a libet of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. And he can argue on the Mishnah. And since we paskin like that, what it means is that nowadays that we do not have real Rishus HaRabims, but the way that or at least he didn't have real Rishus HaRabims. So because of that, remember, this again is dependent on the machlokas of whether you need 600,000 people passing through that Rishus HaRabim daily in order to give it a din of Rishus HaRabim. And so they didn't have that type of usage at the time of the Rishonim. Remember, the large cities are very recent development, relatively recent development. You take a look at the population of London 2 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago, and it's laughable. So the because of that, the Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, if we pass it like Rabbanan Bas Sason, so then we don't have a problem because we're only paskening. You can't go out into Rishus HaRabim Gemura, but you are allowed to go out into a Carmelis. Because he's understanding when he says you can go out into a Chatzar, it means even a Chatzar that would have needed a Erev. So that explains why there's no problem. Of course, that wouldn't work very much nowadays where we do have Rishus HaRabim. So what would that mean? And there's also other terutzim. So one of the weaker terutzim, but that everybody is so mechad, is that basically the whole gezeira was not meant to be a in-place gezeira the way other gezeras are made, that we just are gozeret and that's it, and then you can't be mater. But rather that the gezeira was basically a description of the way the minhagim were at the time. And that explains the strange sugyas that we had, mi darka latzeit be'ir shel zahav, you know, or mi darka shel, wherever it's something that we could figure, well, this kind of woman isn't going to show. I mean, if this was a real gezeira, what do you mean this kind of woman isn't going to show? We don't make differences in a gezeira, what kind of woman, and you come along and say, not me, who are you, Shlomo HaMelech? It's not going to let his women be matet levavo. He got into trouble. What's going to save you? So the idea over here was that these were guidelines about what you need to take into consideration in determining whether a particular way of anhaga could lead to an iser. And therefore, at the time where Enochinami, people would take off things in the middle of the street to show it off, that was at a time when jewelry was rare. Somebody that was wearing jewelry was like, whoa, you know, look what I got. But where everybody wears jewelry, so which is nowadays, I mean, the Ritva is talking already in his time nowadays, so there's no chashash that you're going to take it off. Okay, so that's what many people rely on. The other terrence is, it's totally usser, but you can't tell anybody that it's usser because they won't listen to you. And therefore, mutav shiu shogigim v'lo yu mezidim, so don't even try. Okay. So that would be the other approach. But okay, as you can see, there's a lot of different levels of this. But first, before we get into the psak like a Rabbanan Bar Sason, let's see how it fits into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah seems to go against Rabbanan Bar Sason. The Mishnah says, beferish, you can go out with the kavul and the peyanochris, but only to the chanser. Now, Rav, who said that the idea of the kavul and peyanochris was unique, and those are the only things, which we haven't explained why, but which we will in a moment, those are the only things that you're allowed to go out with. Okay, that's what the Mishnah is saying. But according to Rabbanan Bar Sason, who says any and all things that were usher to go out into Rishus HaRabim are perfectly okay to go into the Chatzar, how in the world does you understand the Mishnah? You don't. Rabbanan Bar Sason didn't say his own thing. Who did he quote it? He was quoting Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi is a Tana, and he argues on the Mishnah. Okay, what's the logic, by the way, of Rav? Like, why Dafka, a Kavul, or a Pe'an Nochrit, why is that okay in the Chatzar? Omar Ula, the Rabbanan did not aser things which, in not using, would make her less attractive to her husband. So, Kedei Shalotit Gana al Ba'ala, we certainly don't want to aser her to do something which will cause her to appear non-attractive to her husband. Kidatanya. Vahadava benidata. We say atava benidata. So what does that mean? So zekenim arishonim amru, that she should be in a state of separation. Minuda. and don't allow her to put on eyeshadow. Don't allow her to put on rouge. Don't allow her to wear beautiful clothes. And that way, she will be a state of menudeh. Until comes along Rabbi Akiva and said that would be terrible. If you're going to make those kind of gezeiros, you are going to make her disgusting to her husband. V'nimtza ba'ala megarsha, you're going to destroy their marriage. That's not what the Torah meant. Elama talmud lomar v'hadava benidata. All it means is that she remains benidata. But she's certainly allowed to make herself look pretty during that time. That means that Alibet Rabbi Akiva, even though there was a pre-existing gezeira or psak from the Doras HaRishonim like that, he canceled it. So obviously, once that was put into effect, the Rabbanan learned never to make that kind of iser, because that would have really created problems. Another thing that Rav said was that if you're not allowed to do something because people will think that you're doing an iser, so if that's the case, you can't wear it even b'chadrei chadorim. So let's say we had the case before. Don't put the ropes on the camels from one camel to the other, right? Why? People will think that you're going out to market. Don't wear your armor on Shabbos. People will think that you challenged somebody to a duel and you're going to kill them on Shabbos. Fine, whatever. But then that would mean you're not allowed to do it anywhere at all, even in a complete Rishus Hayachid. So it was totally asur. The problem is that the Mishnah said, don't go out with a bell, if it's a cow or a donkey. Even if the bell has something that prevents it, it's plugged up with something that stops it from making a sound, and you're not allowed to do it, whereas the Braita said, you are allowed to plug up a bell for a donkey, and you're allowed to walk around as long as it's only in your private chatzar. I don't understand. If you're not allowed to do it because it looks like you're marketing outdoors, according to Rav, then you shouldn't be allowed to walk it around your chatzar either. So you see from this Braita that Rav is wrong. Answers the Gemara, it's true. This Braita disagrees with Rav. And it's actually a machlokas tanoim. D'tanya shotchan b'chama avolo k'neged ha'am. If you got stuck in a rainstorm on Shabbos, you can take your clothes and you can put them out in the sun, but you can't do this in an area where people will see it because people will think that maybe you ran your washing machine on Shabbos. So, obviously, that Tana, the Tana Kama here holds that you can do something in your private home as long as nobody's going to see. Was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rav is correct. You can't do something even in private if you wouldn't be allowed to do it in public. And Rav was basically paskening like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon.